that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We've got the text line open. You can text us in with questions, concerns, or just let me know how bad or good I'm doing today. Candy.
Stop it. You're doing phenomenal.
We always start
I keep
off
saying
with
you should
positive.
Do a podcast. I will board that for you. I'll figure it out.
So you text in, yeah, at 850.
We don't live together. Okay.
Either way.
My mom gives me a text message on the text line when I'm on talking on here.
Yeah. My dad already texts.
Is your mom listening now? All right.
We've got Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender in. Robert, how's it going?
Good. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing good. Doing good. And we strategically, this was your idea, so I'll let you take the credit. Strategically had you on at the 8 o'clock hour because it is early voting. And the polls opened 11 minutes ago at 8 o'clock.
Yes, polls are open till 5:30 today and 8 to 5:30 every day this week until Saturday.
That's right. And you can go to any of the early voting locations, no matter where your voting precinct is, and vote in early voting. You can go to any of them and run through some of those locations? Do you know
sure.
those off
well,
top of your
I
head?
I made it up to Century the other day, okay. and they even talk about there are people that vote there from the beach because they're on their way out of town and they realize they have to vote, and it's
funny.
It's right there off of 29. So the Century Courthouse is one of them. And again, if you're headed out of town and forget to vote for the August 18th election, you can stop by Century Courthouse and vote there. But I'll just work my way down from the north end then, seeing I'm already up there. But we have Molino Community Center. We have the Extension Office on Stefani. We have the Bellevue Library, UWF, Asbury Place, which is right behind the 9th Avenue and College Boulevard. We have our downtown main library, the SOE office downtown, the Brownsville Community Center, the Southwest, and the Southwest Library. So those 10 locations. And, as of for the first 12 minutes, we've already had 27 voters today. And so we have, I have yet to really see a line at any of these locations. So I encourage everybody to get out and vote. Every voter in Escambia County does have a ballot to vote, whether it be the, countywide referendum on appointed elected superintendent, that will be on everybody's ballot. But then we also have three school board races that are all nonpartisan for districts 1, 2, and 3. There are only two candidates in each of those races, so the next school board member for districts 1, 2, and 3 will be elected on the August 18th election. And then we also have the race for mayor, in which we have 6 candidates. And 4 years ago, Mayor Reeves received over 50% of the vote in the August election, and so he was elected. He didn't go to November. So if you're waiting to vote on your next mayor in November, you may not have that chance if someone gets over 50% in this election. And then we also have our partisan races. So if those were all the nonpartisan races. The partisan races that both Republicans and Democrats would see are U.S. Senate, governor and lieutenant governor. And I'm going to put a footnote on that to come back to that in a second. Right. The CFO and then the Commissioner of Agriculture. And then Republicans also have U.S. Congress. They have a House District 2 race to replace Alex Andrade, who is termed out. And then you also have County Commission District 2 race that will be on there for the Republicans. So we actually went to a third column on some of those ballots. So there is a lot for people to vote on. And so I encourage them to come out and vote in the August 18th election, in which we have early voting going on right now.
Very good. Very good. You're showing about 14,920 votes so far out of the 204,000 people that are registered to vote. And so how are we looking? We're at just over 7% turnout. Is this, are we on pace? Are we under pace? Are we, what are you seeing with turnout for the primary?
So I'd say this, in 2024, we had 75% of the registered voters not vote. Just under 25% of our registered voters voted. So we're trying to get that number up. We're historically close to 30%. But I will say right now, our vote by mail numbers are down. We're about 1,200 below where we were at this point in 2024. But we are up about 600 votes in early vote. So about a net loss of 600. So really encouraging people to get out and vote for the August 18th election. Again, the early voting going on now. All vote by mails have to be in my possession by 7 p.m. on election night in order to be counted. And then again, we have Election Day, August 18th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Have to go to your home precinct for that.
All right. Very good. Candy, we'll go to you with traffic on the fives.
Yeah, sure. And we were just watching one accident. This is in Milton on Avalon, just north of McDonald's, north of I-10, but it is southbound across from what used to be the Morris Golf Course. And it's backed up quite a ways on Avalon. Maybe avoid that area if you can. Take 90 or, you know, something else. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, it's Candy with traffic on the fives.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
So if I've requested a mail-in ballot, Robert, and I haven't turned it in yet, can I still come drop it off at one of these early voting locations, or can I bring it to my election polling place on election day if I wanted to?
Great question. So, early vote accepts, we have the secure ballot intake stations. So those are only at the early vote sites during opening hours. So 8 a.m. to 5:30, you can drop off your vote by mail there. On election day, it would only be our office downtown. That would accept vote by mail drop off. If you go to the precinct, your home precinct, you would have to vote in person. You would surrender that ballot. You don't have to, but you could surrender that, and they would give you a new ballot to be voted. So one of the security measures that we put in place when I came on was we have an official use box almost at the top, and we put a V in that for vote by mail. And what that actually does is that prevents the tabulators at those precincts from tabulating those ballots. So we can only tabulate them in our office, and so that would prevent anybody from taking a ballot in and trying that they've gotten in the mail and trying to cast an extra vote or anything. We didn't necessarily have a problem with that, but we had the ability to put in that security measure, and so we did that, and it's worked out well. So also going back to the that governor and lieutenant governor that I was talking about. So that is the name of the race. It says governor and lieutenant governor. And so on the Republican side, none of those governor candidates had already selected a lieutenant governor. So there's only one name for each of those governor candidates. And so we only want people to vote for pick one. They don't need to pick governor and lieutenant governor. The governor candidate will pick their lieutenant governor if they haven't done so already. On the opposite side of that, the Democratic ticket, David Jolly was the only one who had selected a lieutenant governor. And so now we get calls that say, well, Gwen doesn't have an oval. That's because she's David's lieutenant governor.
Right.
And so just encourage people to follow the instructions. Only vote for one per contest. Of course, if you are early voting or voting on election day, if you do make a mistake and overvote that contest with two, then the machine would let you know and you'd have the opportunity to fix it.
All right.
All right. I want to weigh in here. Can I weigh in here?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, hey, what are you doing?
Can you vote drunk? You
okay. So... So my wife likes to early vote. Yep. Hi everybody, it's Andrew. I'm on vacation.
It's
I'm
not. McKay.
I came in to get hugs from Candy.
Yay.
So the lieutenant governor thing is super confusing. My wife likes to vote in advance, so if she votes by mail. She said, "Come help me with my ballot," which I did because I pay attention to politics, and she does everything else. And I didn't even know what the stupid rule was. I'm like, "What do you mean vote for a lieutenant governor? There's only you pick one." And she's like, "Do you pick two?" I'm like, "You just pick one." It made no sense to me, and I'm moderately well-informed about these things. This is a terrible system, Robert.
I understand. So 8 years ago was really the last time this happened. We were able to put not yet selected under each candidate, and apparently that also led to confusion. And so before I came in, I guess the colleagues in the state decided to do away with the not yet selected. And so, definitely something to talk about to see how we can do that.
Can I also suggest it's weird to have only one race say incumbent on it. David Williams says incumbent. Nobody else does.
Yes.
Yeah, because we're in District 3. Stuff. That's weird.
That is because both candidates have the same last name. And so with one of them being the incumbent, the statute says I have to put that.
Really? Wow. There's a law that says if they have the same last name to avoid confusion, you have to identify the incumbent.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What if they're real close names like we had in the last city council elections where people were confused because candidates, maybe deliberately, maybe inadvertently, had very similar names? Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. It's the same last name. So we do things. We do allow candidates to do a professional designation. But in this case, both of them had PhDs. So if I'd let each one of them put doctor, then it wouldn't have helped with the confusion. So we didn't allow that. But the statute does require that we put incumbent next to the incumbent. And that's what we did in this case. So
interesting. Very interesting.
Lots of fun little. And again, so all this gets prescribed to us by the state. They have uniform ballot rules that we follow in terms of everything from the size of the font to, again, especially in the governor and lieutenant governor, they sent out the email telling us how to make sure that we did it. So even though we do create our own ballot and are responsible for that, there is a lot of direction from the state.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll cut to commercials real quick, and then we'll come back with Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender.
So I have known Christina Leavenworth as long as I've lived here, you know, back to when she was in the news and then all the things that she's done since then and with her family and everything else. And when she said that she wanted to get into real estate, those of us who knew her thought, well, a lot of people try, but if anybody can make it work, you can. And she has, it's unbelievable, honestly. And the reason is because, you know, she's really smart and she's very personable. But frankly, I think it's because she's willing to do all the little things that kind of everybody knows you're supposed to do. She just does them. She calls back right away. She follows up. And when people come and look at a house and they don't make an offer, she thinks, well, let's find out why. So she'll call the agent and the agent will say, well, they didn't like this or the price or whatever. And, you know, she says, okay, great, because that's a learning opportunity. Maybe we can do it better in the future. Or, well, you know, actually, we can fix that. Would they be interested if we did this? Maybe, because that can become a sale. That is such a little thing, but think about it. How many people are really willing to do that little step, but it can turn into so many great results? That's the way she approaches everything, from fixing nails in the drywall, you know, holes in the drywall the night before you're supposed to have a closing just to make sure the closing happens. Whatever it takes, she gets the job done. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Whoa, for the longest time.
before you were interrupted rudely by Andrew McKay.
What a surprise.
Walker Wilson sitting in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. We are strictly 80s Joel here on News Radio 92.3. Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay, unless he pops out from underneath the desk again. That was a fun little surprise.
Everybody comes out for Bender.
That's right.
Yay!
We're here with Supervisor of Elections, Robert Bender, talking about our primary election. And Robert, I know a lot of people have been commenting positively on the new I Voted sticker, and you even get one if you request a mail-in ballot, which is fun.
Yes. So we jumped on the American 250 bandwagon a little bit. We've done the election workers have a special badge, very similar to the one that I'm using for the office. That's a celebrating 250, and then the I Voted sticker is it's a commemorative sticker is what I put on the on the vote by mail that we included in it. But it does it. It's a little bit similar to what we had before with the beach and the water. But for 1776, we have a tall ship, and then for 2026, we have more of an American Magic looking ship on the front. Nice. It says America 250 with some fireworks faded in the background. So they're a little bit bigger to let everyone know that you're proud that you voted and have this opportunity to vote. So we're again, as I'm making my way around all these sites, everyone's really said they got a lot of positive comments about that. So we appreciate that. We did that in-house. And then the other thing we did is some of the vote by mail enhancements that we did. One of those was including an I Voted sticker in the vote by mail packet. It's on a 1/3 sheet of paper with some final instructions to the voter, and even put a little arrow that says sticker. To make sure that they knew it was the sticker. Some of the other things we did was we put the top half of the envelope Post-it yellow on the back, gotten really positive response from USPS in allowing them to easily pick out the ballots and get them to us. Also, I think it helps highlight the area that the voter needs to sign. They need to sign in that red box. I think hopefully that draws a little bit more attention to it. But some of the enhancements that we made, and also we now have the ability to track it through the USPS. So we actually had a gentleman call yesterday and say, hey, I haven't gotten my – he had had an issue with his ballot, needed a replacement ballot, and hadn't gotten it yet. So we sent it to him on August the 3rd, and we pulled up the information and were able to pass that along to the USPS that had been stuck at a post office for a couple of days, and they were looking into that. So we did not have that ability to do that before. So this tracking and being able to see where ballots are as they make their way through the USPS system has been a huge help for the office.
Yeah, and I got a text about my ballot for my mail-in ballot, which I thought was really cool. And then you can also go onto your website, escambiavotes.gov. You can find your under the voters tab. You can find a sample ballot. So if you want to see what's on the ballot before you go, you can do that. You can, if you mailed your ballot back in, mine said I requested one, they sent it. I sent it back to them that y'all received it, and now that it's been counted because I sent it in a few weeks back. So you can check all that.
I didn't know you could do that. I always worry about mailing, you know, because you see stuff.
Sure.
And it's, may I ask a quick question? Like, there's a bunch of podcasts from a bunch of people that aren't, you know, but that maybe lean a certain way that say that people that are married using their married name may not be able to vote. And that's, I've never seen that happen.
Right. So,
I mean, you have your ID and you have your.
Correct.
If it's
what's been updated on a voter record. Now, we will have some things going forward in 2027 where new voters will have to provide their citizenship, either their birth certificate or their passport.
Actually, this
is a great thing. So, number one, I want to say don't be worried about coming to the polls to vote, worried about bringing your passport or your birth certificate. So our voter roll has already gone through the SAVE database. And so if you were a registered voter in October 2005, your citizenship status has already been checked. And you remain a voter. We've verified that you're a citizen. So shouldn't be an issue.
I was going to say, I've had like four last names. I've never had a problem.
And so same thing's going to happen. Yeah. As soon as you make that initial thing, you might have to show the paperwork that your name's changed. But you're doing that at the DMV. Anyway, and so they can make that change as they're on your voter record right there. So
some people like to whip everybody into a panic.
Yeah. That's the thing is that I don't want voters to expect something different than they've had in previous years coming to vote, right? So the same photo IDs are still required and able to be used. Sure. Those will change in 27, but for right now, for 2026, the same ones that were used in 24 will be used here. So I really encourage people to get out and vote in the August 18th election.
Woo!
All right. Go out and vote. Check your polling location.
Yep, and I've got them all listed on our podcast page as well, along with the Scambia Vote, so they can find you. And thank you for the great job you do.
Appreciate it. Feel free to give us a call, 850-595-3900, if you have any questions.
Thanks, Robert.
Angelosi, the polls are open in Wisconsin and socialism is on the ballot. Today's primary could see Democrats nominate Francesca Hung for governor.
She has run on the platform of higher minimum wage, higher taxes for rich people.
Fame class, J.J. Cannon, Bill Hamilton, Shanda Rigby, and Jody Skelton. Cannon, of course, went on to a 38-year professional baseball career after being the first PJC Pirate to ever be drafted into the MLB. Hamilton coached Pirates baseball for two decades, later served as athletic director. Rigby led PSC to two NGCAA Final Four appearances and then built Troy University's basketball program. And Skelton spent 35 years shaping youth athletics in the city of Pensacola. All four will be inducted at a ceremony September 24th. Some new details in the deadly standoff in Okaloosa County last weekend. The sheriff's office identifying the man who fired a deputy's as 29-year-old Antonio Austin Hayner, who had active warrants for misusing a firearm. Sheriff Eric Aiden says deputies used SWAT tactics after Hayner refused to surrender, but never fired back themselves. Hayner died at the scene. The death is being investigated by the FDLE, and that investigation remains ongoing. Well, police in Daphne made two animal cruelty arrests this month after finding neglected dogs in deplorable conditions. 35-year-old Brandy Heathcote was arrested August 4th after two malnourished dogs were found in her apartment, one locked in a kennel in a closed bedroom. 22-year-old Sadie Craps was arrested on August 9th on two counts of animal cruelty after dogs in her home were found with severe mange and mites. She also faces a drug charge. All of the dogs are now receiving proper veterinary care through Daphne Animal Control. A federal jury has convicted Pensacola rapper Javon Playapat Booker on firearm charges connected to drug trafficking. Booker had already pleaded guilty ahead of the trial to conspiracy to distribute drugs and money laundering through high-end jewelry. Prosecutors say he moved hundreds of kilograms of marijuana from Seattle to Pensacola over the course of 5 years, funding a lifestyle that included a Lamborghini and diamond jewelry. He faces a mandatory minimum of 20 years of sentencing in November and faces a separate attempted murder charge in state court tied to a nightclub shooting back in 2024. Well, the Florida Lottery has announced three new scratch-off games, Power 20X, Cash in Hand, and $500,000 Cash Blitz. The ticket prices range from $5 to $50, with prizes reaching up to $2 million. All three of those games are now available at lottery retailers statewide. It's 8:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a small isolated chance of rain today. 30% chance of a stray shower. Outside of that, mostly sunny skies, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Wednesday, 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Heading into Thursday, 20% chance of rain. Mostly sunny skies, high near 93 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 80 degrees. We've got sunshine at 8:35 on the dot. Let's check in with Candy, who's got our traffic on the fives.
All right. And just watching one accident. This is in Milton, it looks like, off Avalon Boulevard, right across from where the Moores Golf Club used to be, and about a mile north of McDonald's, about a mile north of I-10. But it is a southbound accident on Avalon. That is slowing things down quite a bit. Scenic and Addison showing an accident as well. Highway 29 and 9.5 mile road showing an accident, but not a roadblock. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slow down, it's brought to you by Frontier Motors. Only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Candy with traffic on the fives.
And 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And your money now this hour, Our markets are mixed at the opening bell. The Dow is up 111 points at 5487.16. S&P 500 up a half point at 7753.44. NASDAQ is down 62 points at 26543.35. 10-year bond rate down at 4.682%. Gold is up 37.30, 44.57. Even silver up 17 cents at 65.10. Bitcoin is up 81 and a quarter at 64,017.61. Taking a look at those oil prices on the top of everybody's mind. West Texas Intermediate down 47 cents at 81.66 a barrel. Brent crude down 59 cents at 87.12 per barrel. And a U.S. appeals court has declined to dismiss thousands of online safety lawsuits against major social media companies in a ruling Monday. The Ninth Circuit said Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act can be used as a defense against liability, but not to avoid being sued altogether. The lawsuits allege platforms owned by companies like Meta and TikTok encourage addictive behavior, fail to properly verify ages, and don't do enough to protect users from harmful content. President Trump's media company, the company behind Truth Social, reporting a $240 million loss for the second quarter. Trump Media and Technology Group Monday reported that revenue was up 89% compared to the same time last year. Most of those losses were attributed to unrealized losses on digital assets. 8:38, our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
Experience, training, and commitment matter. I'm Linda Sanborn, and I'm running for Santa Rosa County School Board District 1. I dedicated 35 years to teaching in public schools and earned a master's degree in education. I know what it takes for students to succeed. With grandchildren in local schools, I'm committed to providing the best education for all students. I would appreciate your vote for Linda Sanborn.
Paid for and approved by Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa School Board District 1.
What a matchup we've got, folks. Just nonstop action. The energy is electric and the fans are all in. An intense game like this calls for a Coca-Cola. Ah, crisp and refreshing. That's a game changer. Yeah, that taste scores every time. And just like that, they're back at it. Passionate fans and an ice-cold Coca-Cola. Now that's a winning combo. No matter the team, no matter the sport, everyone knows fan work is thirsty work. Enjoy a Coca-Cola.
If you've lived in Pensacola long enough, chances are a piece of jewelry in your life has passed through Beret. An engagement ring, a family heirloom, a necklace that needed a little extra care. For 40 years, Beret Jewelers has been the place locals bring the pieces that matter most. From custom designs to expert repairs to rings that start new stories and more, Beret does it all.
Hi, this is DC Reeves. Together, we are moving Pensacola in the right direction. My priorities are building a healthy economy with good careers and keeping our community safe. I will always support our small businesses and back the blue. Let's keep working as a team to move Pensacola forward. I'm DC Reeves, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th.
DC Reeves is endorsed by Sheriff Chip Simmons and the Fraternal Order of Police. Paid for by DC Reeves for Mayor.
You know, for 55 years now, Peden has been helping people solve all kinds of problems to the complicated mechanical or semi-mechanical systems that are inside of their home. You know, plumbing, heating, air conditioning, electrical, the stuff that's just kind of difficult and it really takes an expert to repair. For more than 55 years, everywhere from Tallahassee all the way to Mobile, Fort Walton, Destin, Gulf Breeze, Jay, Pensacola, and everywhere in between. In fact, just last year, they expanded all the way to Mobile, so across the state lines. And one of the things they do is they'll show up on time, they'll be professional, they'll install high-quality products the right way the first time, and they will stand by that installation 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Now, it is warm, and it is getting warmer, and for this month, the deal is very simple. If you'd like to get a new air conditioning system because you're concerned about the real heat that's coming, $1,000 off any new air conditioning system right now. And special financing does apply. There are some restrictions, so you might want to ask about that. But get $1,000 off a new AC system right now with Peden. Find out more at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
While every other media outlet was in regular programming, Pensacola Right Now covered a hostage situation as it happened.
Breaking news this afternoon, we are following an incident. This is in reference to a person who's threatening to harm himself in one of the apartments. We broke this story during the 4 o'clock hour. There was rumors circulating that a child was also in that apartment. I just received word less than 60 seconds ago. The child has now been released.
Pensacola Right Now, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We are in the final half hour, and we are getting ready to go back to school in Escambia County tomorrow on Wednesday. And we have with us the District 4 School Board Representative, Carissa Burgosh. Carissa, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Walker. You're doing great on this hot Tuesday morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. It is very hot. I think we just saw on the news in here that July was the hottest July in recorded history, and it felt like it.
I think so, yes.
I don't know if it was the hottest. It was certainly the most humid. I attest for that.
I think
it's like a dog's mouth.
Right. Yes.
Yes. So, first, you know, we got first day of school tomorrow, and I think, you know, probably the most exciting thing that's happened over the summer is that Escambia County for the first time has been graded an A school district, and we had a lot of schools improve their grades. We had no D's, no F schools, so, you know, talk a little bit about what that means for Escambia County.
Yes, we're so proud of all of our teachers, our students, our employees, our district staff, and even our community with our parents. The earning of the A just took a lot of excitement, a lot of dedication and growth for our students. 19 A's, 16 B's, and 18 C's, no D's or F's. So we're so excited on that and looking forward to continuing that growth. And you know, working on getting an A again for next year, but, you know, still reaching out for the stars.
Oh, very good. Very good. You know, parents are getting ready to send their kids back to school tomorrow. You know, some of them first timers are going into kindergarten. Some of them, you know, last first day going into their senior year. What are some of the biggest things that parents need to know?
Emotional, yes. Yeah. Tomorrow, we're so excited back to school. We're going to have so many kids walk to our schools, get right on our school buses, and drive on the road. So we, of course, ask our community members to pack your patience, because the school buses are going to be in the way, and we ask that you, all of our community, step up and assist them, and just, you know, drive slowly, be patient, leave it a little extra early, you know, leave it a little extra time. We do ask, of course, we have many students that will be waiting at bus stops, so same thing, please, we ask our community to just pack your patience and, you know, just be mindful and be aware of what's surrounding.
Oh, very good. Well, since we're talking about buses, we'll let Candy give us traffic on the fives real quick.
I'll take a quick look here. And this is there's one accident, it looks like, on Avalon. That's the one thing that is tying everything up right now. But it's not as bad as it was. It looks like it has been moved off to the side. Northbound lanes are open on Avalon, and this is north of I-10, south of 90, of course. But right lane southbound is open, so there is one lane open. And that's all I'm seeing right now, 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, you can text in, let us know. It's Candy with traffic on the fives.
All right, very good. Well, Chris, I know that there are some changes coming as far as discipline goes that parents maybe should be aware about if they're not already. So I know you wanted to try and cover some of those you know, what are those different disciplinary actions or things that are going to be implemented in the school district this year?
Yes, we have a lot of discipline attributes to our schools. We do ask our parents to be aware of what's going on. We ask our students to also be aware of what's going on with that. For looking at last year, our expulsions are slightly down from the previous year, so we're very pleased with that. If you look at our disciplinary reassignments, they're slightly higher. So that's one of the things we're looking at. We have places in our district that our students can go to. They need some extra assistance, extra guidance, extra support for their positive behavior. We do ask for them to, just to be very positive about that. But, discipline and bullying is, of course, one of our top priorities. We want to look at that, and we have some positive reinforcements. Whenever a child misbehaves in the classroom, they are given an opportunity to learn some other avenues of how to work together on their behaviors. We have many positive reinforcements. We have the positive behavior school PBIS, and many of our schools that teaches cooperative learning, teaches more of the character education, and we have many resources in our schools that do provide those children opportunities to not only learn how to be an upstander, outstanding with that, but also to give them avenues of how to express themselves and not be disrespectful.
Yeah, very good. Well, we will go ahead and pay some bills and cut to commercial break real quick, and then we'll be back with school board member from District 4, Carissa Bergosh.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Darrell Sewing of Pensacola. Darrell Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus a large selection of sewing machine furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Financing is available too. Call him today, 850-438-5444. Darrell Sewing, located at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Santa Rosa County voters, meet the candidates before you cast your ballot. Gulf Breeze News hosts a free candidate forum Tuesday at the Gulf Breeze Middle School cafeteria. Doors open at 5:30 for voters to meet the candidates. The forum begins at 6. Candidates for Congress, the Florida House, County Commission, and School Board have been invited. Doors at 5:30, meet the candidates, and the forum starts at 6. Free admission. Get informed with Gulf Breeze News at the Gulf Breeze Middle School cafeteria starting at 5:30 Tuesday night.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The countdown is on.
Chest high stab. Here is the give. Cole Feely bounces to the outside. 25-20, 15-10, 5-4-3-2-1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Hi, this is Jeff Colhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. The new college football season begins for the Noles in just a few weeks. Join us all season long on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
4 years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises: roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
Got a question about business, health, or money?
Chances are Meg's already talking to the expert.
Pet Talk, Pet's Cool Expert Panel, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Mm-hmm.
in Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay as he is out this week on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We have with us on the line school board member from District 4, Carissa Burgosh. As we start back, first day of school is tomorrow in Escambia County. So, Carissa, thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much. I do want to just add a little bit of something about back to school and honoring and recognizing our teachers. Yes. I'm reading a book right now. It's called The Extraordinary Gift, Our Teachers. And this is written by Dr. Janet Pilcher and Quint Studer. It's a local, so it's a very good book. It is important to help teachers feel recognized and supported. And says, I can't imagine doing anything else. Once a student is helped to achieve, doors are opened. Teachers make a huge impact on all of us. And that impact extends from students in the classroom to adults in the real world. So I just want to give a shout out to our teachers. I know they're all excited about the kiddos coming back to school tomorrow, and I want to let them know that we appreciate them. We have their backs.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very good point. None of this would really be possible without all the teachers in the classrooms on the front lines with those students each and every day.
True.
And, the impact that they make on these children's lives. I still run into some of my teachers every now and then, and it's always good to see them. So.
I'm sure they enjoy that too.
I hope so.
Want to touch a little bit about the elected versus appointed superintendent.
Yeah,
and that's on the ballot, and that referendum is coming out. So we want to make sure that our community members are aware of what that entails. You know, it's really not taking their vote away. I know that some people are claiming that they're going to lose their right to vote for a superintendent. And it's really not. That is in the hands. Just make sure you have good school board members. If they're not doing what they're supposed to do, vote them out and get someone else in. But this appointed superintendent allows the district to get a professional superintendent, one that has education background, one that's a leader, one that works well with others, and so it eliminates the politics out of this process. And as you and I know, the campaigning can be really stressful and very hard, and I want a superintendent that is focused solely on the school district.
I've talked a little bit about that this morning, that this referendum is on everyone's ballot. Everybody's going to have at least that on their ballot. You know, it might be that's the only thing on your ballot, but everybody that is registered to vote, they show up to the poll, whether early voting, you know, today through Saturday, or if they go on election day on August 18th, next Tuesday, that question will be on your ballot. It'll be the last thing on there. And it's asking, should the superintendent of schools be elected by the majority of Escambia County voters? Yes or no? A yes vote will take us back to the elected partisan race for superintendent. A no vote will keep it as it is right now, as an appointed position by the elected school board. I've been in favor of an appointed superintendent, like I was in 2018 when it passed back then.
Right, exactly. Yes. I was too. I want to share a story. This is an analogy that my brother-in-law, Jeff Burgosh, uses on his show a lot. And I kind of stole that from him. But we have a lot of University of Alabama fans, a lot of football fans. If they were limited to just the county of Tuscaloosa around, I don't know if that's Tuscaloosa County or Birmingham. I'm not sure of the name of the county. But if they were limited to just that, we wouldn't have Nick Saban. And Nick Saban came from a different area, and he was the most qualified for that university. And so, you know, circle back to the appointed versus elected. Elected gives limits our ability, and the pointed kind of widens the ability, lets us use a bigger net, if you will.
Right.
Fishing term, bigger net. So that it doesn't limit us to look at local people. We can still look at local people, but we can also look at national.
Yeah, and as an Auburn alumni, I wish that Alabama could only pick their coach from the county in which they are. But Candy, we got traffic on the five.
Like they're smart.
That's right.
Yeah, this is Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Gambia County's tax base. As we take a look at our roads, we are watching this one accident in Milton on Avalon. Looks like that has been cleared up now. So you're safe southbound and northbound. We do have a hit-and-run crash. It looks like at Cervantes right there at the top near Palafox. Use caution there. Caution wherever you are, 437-1620. Candy with traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks, Candy. And, Krista, you know, one thing that I've been mentioning or did this morning about the school superintendent being appointed is people say, well, you know, I pay my property tax and I want to be able to pick the person that serves in that role, which, it's a fair argument, I think, and many people
right.
feel that way.
Of course.
But, you know, they're paying their property tax now, and some of these students that they're paying property tax for their education are taking that money and going to private schools or charter schools, and that tuition is getting paid for, and they're not electing any of those people that work at those schools. You know, that gets a little lost. But, we'll see what happens next Tuesday. And either way, I think we'll be good no matter which way it goes. And, you know, the school board and the school district will continue to work to give our students the best public education that we can. So
correct. We always keep our children, the mission, children on the focus of our minds.
That's right.
So, yes, I agree.
We got two more minutes left, Carissa. What else should parents be on the lookout for as school starts tomorrow?
Tomorrow, exciting times, but I know I've received one email from a grandparent concerned about not being able to walk their kid into the classroom in kindergarten. I definitely understand that. I'm a parent myself, and I remember how emotional those days were. The first day of school is emotional, but we also have to look at the safety of all of our children, all of our employees of our school system, and even the parents that are on campus. So we ask that even those parents that, yes, they may want to walk their kids to school, definitely understand that, but also understand the school district's responsibility and respect that, and maybe say your goodbyes at home. Yeah. But, you know, they're all plenty of opportunities to come to visit the school, whether it be an open house. I know we had orientations last week. Open house is coming up soon. So
very good.
You know, there's options.
Well, thank you so much, Carissa, District 4 School Board Representative. Everybody have a good first day of school tomorrow, and it's been good filling in. Candy, thank you so much. And
you're amazing. Thank you so much. I love you.
Great last day.
Oh, you too.
All right.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with